Welcome to Motivational Radio. Thank you for joining us today on What's Your VPA? Now here's your host, Kelly Frazier.
Welcome to today's show of What's Your VPA? Do you have a clear vision of what you most desire, whether it be a calling from God or a direction that you choose? Do you tap into the internal power, the source of life? Unless you take inspired action, your vision may not grow. So what's your VPA? Your Vision Power Action Blueprint to Success. Hi, I'm your host, Kelly Frazier, along with my fabulous co-host, Pauline Victoria. Hi, Pauline. How are you doing today?
Good. It's a great day.
It is a great day, and it's great to have you here as always. Pauline is a thought leader and the founder of Commitment to Courage, and you can visit her website at paulinevictoria.com for more information on that. And I'm just thrilled that you are here with us today, as well as our guest. Now, I know when people ask me, I do want to mention something ahead of time. When people ask me, how are you doing today, I typically say I'm in a constant state of victory. And nowadays, when I say that, I actually think of the powerful inspiration that is here with Motivational Radio, because after their earthquake in Christchurch, New Zealand, which is actually the home base for Motivational Radio, they have just been through some incredibly devastating things. And so we want to give a shout-out to the founder and the producer of Motivational Radio, Anthony Hoskins, and his excellent support team for continuing to inspire the world in the face of that devastation. So, Anthony, thank you. And we will definitely continue to send our love and prayers to you and your family. Now, today we do have the privilege of introducing to you folks a wonderful woman whose impressive art background looks like a roadmap to success in itself. But we invited her here today to share her story with you, which is making an impact on people around the globe, really. And it certainly impacted me. And that's one of the ways that I actually ended up getting to know her a little bit and inviting her on our show. She knows all about how important it is to have vision, power, and action in order to succeed. She's a contemporary abstract artist named Melissa Ayer. And Melissa attended colleges such as Berkeley, San Francisco Fine Art Institute, California College of the Arts, and it's taken a lot of action that's allowed her experiences and her opportunities to have her art displayed on a national level as well as international. And I believe her art has taken her to places like Shanghai, China, Yucatan, Mexico, and of course here in the throughout the United States. Melissa's also enjoying her life, supporting numerous charities and raising her beautiful kids. So Melissa, Pauline, and I cannot wait for you to share your story with our listeners today, so we want to welcome you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for inviting me here, and thank you for having us on the air as well, Motivational Radio.
Well, our pleasure. Well, first of all, if you can share with our listeners a bit about yourself and how you really shared your story on another interview that I heard. If you want to start there, that'd be a great place.
Sure. When I was 13, I was coming home from cheerleading practice. We lived in San Francisco, and the city uses a bus system to get around, and I was transferring from one bus to another, and upon crossing the street, I was hit by an automobile. I was then taken to University of California, San Francisco Hospital, and I was in a coma. And when I was in the coma, I had a near-death experience, and I spoke with God. And in the coma, prayers from everybody turned into pinpoints of light, and the prayers rose, and it was all dark around me, and I was wearing a long white dress, and I had long black hair flowing down the back. They all formed into one ball, and then the ball approached me and filled me with the light, which was the love, and I could feel no harm, nothing was wrong, and I was given a golden treasure box. And the golden treasure box opened up, and bubbles flew out, and inside of the bubbles were happy moments of my life. My sister being born, me riding my bike for the first time, different moments of a 13-year-old girl. And at the bottom of the box were seven bubbles. I looked into the light, and it asked me the question if I wanted to live or if I wanted to die. I looked back down at my body, and then I looked back into the light, and I said I wanted to live. Then the seven bubbles flew up, and in those bubbles, I was able to see pictures of my future. In there, I saw a picture of my husband, my two beautiful little boys. I saw a picture of me creating art. I saw a picture of me doing lectures and seminars and helping people through the arts. And that's what I'm doing right now. So it's wonderful. I was told that it would be hard because a lot of people would not believe my story. And I should not believe what a lot of the people would tell me. I should believe in God and I should believe in myself. When I woke up out of the coma, I was told that I had brain damage and that it would be hard for me to go to college. I graduated from UC Berkeley, topped my class in psychology and art. I was told that I wasn't able to walk. I can walk perfectly now. I was told that I wasn't able to have kids. I have an 8-year-old and a 10-year-old. When the doctors and neuropsychologists and counselors would tell me this, I would tell them that they were wrong because I knew the truth. I heard from God that I could do this. So it was a fight, and I did persevere, but I did make it through, and I was able to graduate with my class in eighth grade and walk across stage without any help or crutches or anything. I broke from my ribs to my toes, and I was in a coma for 18 days.
Wow. Melissa, this is Pauline. I wanted to ask you, what made you choose to live?
I knew that I had a supportive family, and all the pinpoints and prayers of light were all my friends and family, and I just knew that there was something more that I needed to do, and that's why I came back, and that's what I'm here doing. I've worked in hospitals with women who had breast cancer, doing art at the bedside with them in San Francisco at Mount Zion. I've worked in school districts with kids who have ADHD. And learning disabilities. I've run events and festivals, and I give back a lot to the people who are in need and the people who need help. And art seems to be the way for me to heal and to teach other people how to heal themselves is through art. And then when I sell my grand paintings, percentages of that go back into my own foundation, and then what I do is I go into impoverished schools and I go to hospitals and I help kids get out of the current physical situation that they're in by doing art. And what art allows them to do is allows their mind to wander and heal their body by doing that.
That is fabulous. You know, Melissa, while you were just now talking, I was picturing in my head that you are at the point in your life where you could teach so many other people to do what you do. And I don't know if that's something that comes in the next phase of your life or not, but certainly there are so many gifted individuals out there who know art and who could teach it the way you do. And of course there has to be that love and that desire to, you know, to do the action taking of all those steps. And it is quite a commitment. But now, is this a lot of what inspires you when you do art, is to be able to see the healing in the people that you work with?
When I work with individual people, yes, to help them find what I found within myself. When I do my own art, I'm able to lose time and space and transcend into the fourth dimension, if you will. And I'm able to be by myself, and no one's around me, even if I'm in a crowded room and I'm doing a live painting, because I'm able to tap into the source and able to just be in that space of creation and imagination. And what I found is that the key to accessing this is play. And I'll be doing a talk on the National Mall in June of 2011 for the International Child Art Foundation. So it's going to be June of 2011 in Washington, D.C. And so I'll be teaching about creativity and imagination there. And I'm also writing a book, and I'm going to be starting Air Art Ambassadors to teach people what I do so they can then do it for themselves and then help other people learn how to do it.
So you're already doing that. Excellent. I'm glad to hear that because I know a lot of people really need what it is that you do. I've seen at the bedside, you know, of my a lot of relatives that have, you know, gone through the hospital and passed away. But, you know, during that time, we'd have music therapists come in because our family is more of musicians. And so any time one of those music therapists would come in, the entire atmosphere would change. The person in the bed would just feel so much better and leave, you know, they'd leave us with a smile. So I know how important this kind of art therapy can be. I've seen it myself, so I'm just so grateful that you do it.
Oh, it's wonderful. I completely believe in that as well. And yesterday I had a meeting with a wonderful doctor, Dr. Gustavo Torva, and he founded Musical Angels. And what they do is they teach children who are terminal in the hospitals how to play the piano and how to get relief from listening to it as well. And the piano was donated by the Piano Gallery in Dallas, Bob Rosenthal, and it's coming to my house tomorrow, a baby grand piano, and I'm going to paint it. Abstract
wow.
contemporary style, and then this piano will be touring to the different hospitals where Dr. Gustavo, the Musical Angels, will be playing for the terminally ill kids.
How fabulous is that?
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
I have goosebumps all over that one.
So I completely believe in the arts of healing.
Yes.
And I'm not a licensed registered art therapist. I'm a mom and I'm an artist and I enjoy what I do.
Mm.
I did what I did before I had children. And then once I had children, I stopped. And it's different being a full-time mom.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, my children came first because I did do that for 10 to 15 years, and I enjoyed it. So now I dabble in that as well, but that's not my full time. My full time is being a mother and being an artist.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Incredible.
Melissa, what is your vision for Air Art and your tour?
Currently, I'm doing a national tour, and we did the kickoff in Dallas on August 21st. And what we did is I was approached by Ruin Art Champagne and asked to be one of 10 contemporary artists within the United States. My painting interpretation of the champagne will be at Art Basel, December 2010, this year. And it's just a blessing from there on. We had it at the Piano Gallery, and Bob loved my art and asked if I could paint one of his pianos. And then yesterday we just found the Musical Angels, and we donated the painting to them, or the piano, after I finished painting it. And then it'll be on Good Morning Texas at the end of September, and everything's looking positive. The next stop in my tour is Los Angeles, October 16th. And I'm going to be working with a local charity, and then after that, San Francisco, and then New York. And I have all the information on my website, which is www.melissaair.com, MelissaAyr.com.
Yeah, we want to just emphasize the AYR.com, excuse me, as air does sound like A-I-R, so AYR.com. Melissa, also, you know, how do you inspire other people? And I don't know if you're prepared really to take us through some kind of a, you know, an audio visual, if you could, about how to allow people to let their imaginations to run wild. How do you get people to really know how to do that?
I was blessed to work with Natalie Rogers when I was attending UC Berkeley in California, and she is the daughter of Carl Rogers. A famous psychotherapist, and she's developed a technique called non-denominational hand. And so what you do is, if you're right-handed, that's your dominant hand, so your left hand would be your non-dominant hand. So doodle for 5 minutes with your non-dominant hand, and what that does is that gives you the ability to tap into your stream of consciousness, to bypass the person that says, oh, I can't draw anything. Oh, what's that supposed to be, a tree? It lets you bypass that and just access immediately into the stream of consciousness and tap into your imagination. And then once you're in that space, you're able to then create freely. If it's spoken word, if you're writing poetry, if you're able to paint, if you're able to play music, it just allows you to bypass the critical thought that's going on in everyone's mind. And so that's one quick way to tap in and to get in quickly, and that's by Natalie Rogers.
Wow, interesting. What do you think of that, Pauline?
I think that's amazing. That was definitely one of my questions, because I know I often hit the blocks of, oh, I'm not good enough in art. And so really allowing myself to just let go and having that technique is really good. And even though I personally don't have hands, I feel like I could participate in that.
Yeah, that probably is something that we, I don't ever, you know, say that in the very beginning, but, you know, that is something with Pauline. She has no arms or legs. She was born without them. And so how would you work with someone who is physically challenged? Because actually our program here does speak directly to people who are physically challenged. So what would you say to someone like that?
There is a wonderful art therapist called, her name is Frances Anderson, and she has written a book for art therapists on how to work with physically disabled adults and children.
Hmm.
And in one of the chapters I remember reading that in working with someone who had arthritis, you would take like a milk gallon and cut the milk gallon handle out and poke holes where the top of the handle is and the bottom of the handle is, and put the paintbrush through there. So the person who could not grasp their hand completely to a closed fist could slide their hand through there and use that to paint with.
Oh,
I personally have never worked with somebody who does not have limbs, so I don't know, but carefully, I would assume.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you know what? It's amazing, because what I think your art teaches and what art therapy teaches is that anybody can do this.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I think that's at the core of it, and it really is a universal language for anybody to be able to tap into and allow themselves to let go of the logical part of our brain and allow ourselves to just be. And like you, I'm just so moved how you allow God to work through you and your art. And I was looking at your gallery online, and just some of the names that you name your art was just—it's just beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
it's
actually
wonderful.
Melissa, can you tell us a little bit about your art, like some of the ways that you have painted or created whatever it is that you have? Can you share a little bit about some of your favorite pieces?
Oh, sure. A lot of my art is emotional and inspirational. This one piece called Bebop, it's a large 5 by 6 foot painting that was just recently sold. It's all done in oils. I paint with my hands and my body, so I rarely use a brush, but I've been trained to use a brush, but I feel that it's freer for me to advanced finger paint, if you call it.
Okay.
And that one I did with my hands completely. And so I would put the paint on the canvas, and I would just add the colors next to the colors that I felt resonated with each other or vibrated with each other.
Okay.
And then after it was able to dry, then I was able to work on top of it with an overlaying image on top of there. And I was very happy. It was the day that we had just moved to Texas and we had purchased our home. And so the name of the painting is called Bebop, because mm-hmm. I was dancing and I was bebopping around in my studio, and that's the image that I came up with. A type of seussical image.
What did you say?
A Dr. Seussical image.
Oh, a Dr. Seussical image. Okay. That's awesome. Now, you said that sometimes you paint with your body, too, and then when you were and Pauline were discussing, you know, how to work with physically challenged people, immediately, again, in my mind, I started thinking, well, you know, anybody, whether they have limbs or not, could paint with any part of their body if they really felt, you know, I mean, it's not necessarily a comfort zone, perhaps, but if they really wanted to work at having fun, certainly you could do it with, what, a hip or a knee or an elbow or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, correct. I've used my forearms. I use my elbows. I use my feet. I use every part of my body. When we lived up in Lake Tahoe and I sold my art out of casinos, they favored breast prints. And so I sold those, and then I donated the proceeds back to the Avon Foundation and breast cancer movement that was going on in the Bay Area.
Wow.
Isn't that something? Now, really, Melissa, you are the epitome of an action taker for sure. So obviously you have the vision part that came to you when you were quite young. The power part also did, because that power comes through what, you know, you do and allow God to work through you. So explain to us then some of the action steps that you actually had to take as you started to, you know, push through some of the limitations that you might have been faced with.
A lot of the actions that I took was aligning myself with good, positive people around me. Because when you have people that support you and believe in your dreams with you, it's easier to climb a mountain than doing it by yourself. And my biggest cheerleader is my husband, and Harris Warren. Him and I have been married for 16 years. He's my high school sweetheart. He proposed to me on our first date at the Cliff House in San Francisco. And I was 16, he was 17. He popped a bottle of Dom Perignon, got down on his hands and knees, and asked me, "Will you marry me?" And I was flattered. I wanted to say yes, but being 16, I said, "Yes, but not right now. If we're still together after we graduate from college, then I will marry you, and I'll marry you here." So 5 years later, I was a senior, he was a freshman in college, so 5 years later, when he finished UC Davis in chemistry and I finished UC Berkeley in psychology and art, we got married at the Cliff House. So he's my biggest cheerleader.
Melissa, let me make sure we have time here for the story. I know that you and I had talked before, and you had shared with me a little bit about, you know, some of those seven bubbles that you saw. And it was seven, correct? Is that what you said? Seven bubbles, yeah. So one of them had to do with your husband, correct?
Yes. I actually saw who he was. And when I was going to school my freshman year in 1985 on the 18, I saw him walk on the bus. And he just had a white aura glowing around him, and I knew who he was. And so I was sitting in the back of the bus. I moved my books over so he could sit next to me. Typical 14-year-old boy walks right past me and sits behind me to the left in the very last row. And I needed to get to know who he was, and I needed to get for him to get to know who I was, but I didn't want to reveal everything. So I turned around and I asked him, "Do you know what time it is?" And he said, "Aren't you wearing a watch?" And I said, "Yeah, but it's broken." But that began our interaction, that began our friendship, and that began us hanging around each other and waving at each other as we would cross the Esplanade at school.
Wow, that's fantastic. You know, a lot of what Melissa is sharing with us today is really based on what she experienced as a very young girl when she was in the coma, and she did have that encounter with God, and her experiences seemed to be in alignment with everything that was shown to her. So that was what was so fascinating to me, Melissa, and I am just so grateful that you're able to come and share your story with us again.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
we have
a privilege to talk to both of you. Thank you so much for allowing me to come here.
Thank you. We have about 5.5 more minutes. Do you mind if I ask you one more question?
Oh, sure. Go right ahead.
Okay. Until we get run out of time, unfortunately. I'm sure we could talk forever. You had a near-death experience when you were 13 and you had those visions, but what is your relationship like now, like with God now, and does it influence you in any way?
My relationship with God is very intimate and personal, and it does influence me every single day. I say thank you, and I light candles, and I pray for people, and I pray that my family is healthy and happy and strong. And I come from a very rich family. not rich, not monetarily, but rich as in love. That's the richness I talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have two wonderful little boys who I simply adore. I have a wonderful husband. I have a very supportive family. My mother, my aunt, and my sister, and my father, they encourage me and they support me and they help me drive forward. So I thank God every day for my family and for my friends. And the friends that I choose are the ones who also have big hearts and are also committed to showing up and rolling up their sleeves and helping you dig the hole and everyone taking a shower and then going out for drinks afterwards. Those mm-hmm. are the friends that I consider my true friends and the blessings that I thank God for every day.
Mm-hmm.
And how I work with him intimately is through my artwork and through my painting. Because when I'm in that space, I'm able to visualize what I want the picture to be, or I'm able to receive a message. One painting that I did for the Book Bank Foundation, they work with literacy and eradicating homelessness. And I was asked to help them do a piece for the Heroes Award ceremony that's going to happen in December 2010 for the 9/11 that just happened several years ago. And I kept working on an image. I did a picture of the Manhattan skyline from the Brooklyn Promenade, a picture that I had taken, and I loved it, but it wasn't correct. So I destroyed it, and over it I painted lotuses coming up through the muck, beautiful flowers rise through the muck, and then I didn't like that, and then I painted over it again, and then the final painting that I had come up with, I asked God, I said, okay, I need a vision. I need to make something to symbolize the devastation of how everyone just became homeless and the turmoil and everything, and about literacy and rising up again. And driving my child to junior high school, looking up in the clouds, I saw a beautiful angel holding a Bible.
Mm.
And I said, that's it. So
wow.
I quickly jotted it down in my little book that I have in my car, a little sketchbook, and then I went home and I began working on it and layering it and putting different images into it, and then the final outcome is an angel with a halo holding a Bible, and if you look in the wing area, it forms a heart over the halo and the wings, and this is all done completely by my hands.
Oh, wow. Melissa, that is incredible. That is
yes.
incredible.
We're not
you.
Even looking at it. We're just
I know.
hearing about it, and I got
exactly.
to take it away.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking, too. I mean, maybe because we are visual people, you know, that we can actually see it as she's describing it. But, oh, man, that is incredible. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
You know, you're welcome.
Melissa, if you could, one more time, just give us your website so that people know where to find more information about you.
That is www.melissaair.com, MelissaAir.com.
All right. And do you have any last things that you would like to say here today?
Just that if you ask, you will receive, and, you know, put your faith in God and believe in yourself, because that's as simple as it can ever be. If
mm-hmm.
you believe in yourself that you can achieve anything, I mean, look at Pauline.
Mm-hmm.
Look at yourself, Kelly. I mean, if you believe that you can overcome any obstacle,
absolutely.
It is possible and it is probable and it will happen.
Absolutely.
But you have to have the faith in God and in yourself that you can overcome. And tomorrow the sun will come out and everyone's going to be happy.
That's a fact. Melissa, thank you so much. And Pauline, I also want to thank you, of course, for being here with us as always. And I want to thank everyone listening. Do link up with us on Facebook, on our Facebook page, What's Your VPA Radio Show, and you search that in the Facebook page if you could, and like us there. And we also want to encourage you to come back each week to keep your own VPA growing as you gather gold nuggets of inspiration on connecting to your vision, power, action, blueprint towards success. Thank you again, Melissa, and I hope everyone has an awesome day.
Thank you. You too. Have a wonderful day.